Mark chapter number 9, we're going to read in verse number 50. If you want to turn to Matthew chapter number 5 also and have your hand there, we're going to read some familiar verses here. But back whenever, of course, it's been 2 years ago, I think, that you sent out the first email trying to get us to set aside the time to come for the 50th anniversary. But whenever I got the confirmation with our pastor talking to him about the dates to come for this thing, it wasn't long after that in my Bible reading, God just placed it on my heart what I knew this is what I'm going to preach tonight. And I've been chewing on this thing for like 7-8 months, so I hope you're ready, because I'm ready to preach it. So I preached it to our teenagers like a couple weeks after I got it, but it's been a long time since I've preached it to myself, probably 8-9 times over, so hopefully it went better than those times that tonight will. But I'm looking forward to just giving you a simple truth, and then we'll sit down, get out of the way, and let Brother Caleb get up here and give you the word after that, and I'm looking forward to hearing him also. Mark chapter number 9, verse number 50. Follow along as I read this verse here. The Bible says, "Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his saltiness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another." Turn back to Matthew chapter number 5. Verse number 13. The Bible says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." Let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Jesus, I want to thank you for this day. God, I beg you, Lord, for your power. Lord, I beg you that you get me out of the way. And Lord, just help me to be a challenge to these folks here. Lord, and just many, Lord, invested in me as a young man. Sat through school classes with them as teachers. Sat through Sunday school classes with them. Lord, worked side by side with a lot. And Lord, what a blessing it is to be here. And I pray, Lord, that your word will ring true. And Lord, the challenge will come through clear tonight. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I read these verses here, and kind of to start us out tonight, I kind of want to talk about our seasoning for a minute and just kind of using it as an illustration. I don't know how many of y'all have ever really went through and cleaned out your seasoning closet. You laugh because you haven't done it for a long time. We got some sort of, our kitchen's pretty small, and we got this spice rack thing that helps stack them up twice high or something so you can actually see what you have. So that you actually use what you have instead of buying what you already have and just putting it in there with it and having 8 of the same things if you're like us, okay? But I think there were some of them celebrating anniversaries for their due-by date whenever we went through and started looking at dates for some of them as we were celebrating our anniversaries too. And I would imagine if we started looking at some of the seasonings, you got like that one that you used for that one real obscure meal that you used like one time, and then it got pushed to the very back. And then you got the ones that are like the stars of the show. They're 3/4 full, half full, quarter full. Like, we're gonna have to buy new here again soon because you use it all the time. Okay. And just illustrating, interesting in the side of it, whenever we went through ours and seeing some of the dates on them and saying, you know, we may want to replace this one, or hey, we haven't used this one in like 4 years, so like maybe we should get rid of it or something. But when I was reading this verse, I started thinking about the salt. And where it says the salt has lost its savor, or the salt had lost its saltiness. And I really started thinking, what does that mean?
Right.
Because I can guarantee you, if you have salt sitting inside of your spice cabinet for 10 years, you know good and well, as long as it hasn't, you know, gotten exposed to weather and turned into a rock, you're going to pull it out and it's going to taste like salt.
Right?
Right.
So what does it mean when the salt has lost its saltiness or its savor? And I began to study and just kind of look into maybe the chemical compounds of what salt is. And this is something I got offline here. Chemically, and everything online's right, so I mean, we can trust it, so we're good there. Chemically, table salt consists of two elements, okay, sodium and chloride. Neither element occurs separately and free in nature, but are found bound together as a compound, sodium chloride. It occurs naturally in many parts of the world as the mineral halide and as mixed evaporates in salt lakes. Seawater contains an average of 2.6% by weight of sodium chloride, or 78 million metric tons per cubic kilometer, an inexhaustible supply. Table salt, when viewed with a magnifying glass, can be seen to consist of tiny cube-shaped type flakes. And as I began to look through this, and really, we understand what it means on the outskirts of this, okay? Just like it says, you're the light of the world, and you hide under a bushel. Oh, no. We know what that means as Christians. But talking a little bit about tonight, trying to help us in thinking of the thought and the process of what it really means when the salt has lost its saltiness. As I studied this out and looked through it, it seemed like it was necessarily impossible. And as you look at the elements of salt, they're like the perfect marriage. They're perfect for each other. It's really difficult to get them to separate, to get them to do something else, to get them to not be the saltiness that it was really made to be. But as I studied on this thing, I found out that for salt to lose its saltiness, an outside force has to be applied in order for the salt to lose its saltiness. So in other words, for the salt to lose its saltiness, church, tonight, it has to be diluted with something. I brought an example with me tonight, and for sake of time, I'm not going to do everything with it. But I'll tell you kind of what I did at home, my little science experiment that I did at home. People thought I was crazy walking into the church kitchen with what I was doing. But if I took this salt and filled a large serving spoon with it, I'd be hard pressed to have somebody come up here and just say, I'll take that big spoonful of salt.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, there's always one knucklehead in the crowd be like, I'll do it, Brother Ross, pick me, you know, and they regret it afterwards. But I'd be hard-pressed to do that. But let me see by a show of hands how many have put salt in water and gargled with it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, most of the crowd. Now, we do that, but we don't drink it. Because, why? Because it's salty. Why would you want to drink that? Now, I added the same amount of salt to a container right here in front of me. And I took a drink out of it. You know what it tasted like? Water.
Yeah, that's right.
I didn't taste a hint of salt in it.
That's right. Right. Good.
True. And I poured a lot.
Yeah.
I would almost dare say I didn't try it, but I could probably about pour this whole container in there. And as long as I didn't shake it up, I guess, too bad and let it settle for a second, I don't think you'd taste any salt in it. Why? The salt's been diluted.
Right. Right, preacher. Yes, sir.
Right.
It's been diluted by something. And the truth rang forward from this verse now in a whole new light for me.
Right.
As I started to look at it and say, what does it mean for the salt to lose its saltiness? Christian, I want you to understand something. Satan is real, real good at what he does.
That's right.
He's been around long before we ever thought about being around. And he's going to be around until the end. And when God deals with him,
right,
and takes care of things from there, and I praise the Lord for that day. Can't wait. We don't have to worry about this old flesh. We don't have to worry about sin. We don't have to worry about all that nonsense no more.
Amen.
But he's good at what he does.
Yes, sir.
And from the youngest in here all the way to the oldest, I don't care. I wrote on my office that I have, I got a whiteboard there, and I wrote on it just the other day, there's no age limit on sin.
Right.
Let me say that again. There's no age limit on sin. Hey, those movies that you may watch, that you say to your kids as they're 12, 13, 14 years old, hey, you can't watch that. Don't watch that. Just because all of a sudden you turn 18 or 21 or your dad or your mom now, it's still just as bad for you.
Right, sir.
Amen.
And if we're not careful as we go about our Christian life, we're so inundated with the world, we're so covered up with it, and the wickedness is on every side. If you're not careful, you're supposed to be the salt of the world. And if you're not careful, we're going around as deluded Christians, and we're saying, "Hey, you want some salt?
Right.
Come on. Here, can I give you some salt? Right. If I come and poured on this on one of y'all and said I was going to salt something for you, you'd see a whole section clear out." And that's exactly how the world looks at us. Yeah. As we're diluted down with the same wickedness that they're involved with. And they look at you and say, "You call yourself a Christian?" Because there's no difference. This is all they taste. They taste water. There's no salt in that. I want to look at just some things tonight to try and help us so we can get diluted down with. This is not an exhaustive list, let me tell you, because that would take way too long. Let's look at a few things. I promise it's not going to be long this evening, and then we'll finish up. The love of the world. Turn to 1 John chapter number 2. These verses don't even need commentary on them. You can just read them and move on, and they'll convict your heart.
Yeah. That's right.
1 John chapter number 2, verse number 15, the Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." Satan's good at what he does. He makes the things of this world seem so shiny, seem so appetizing, seem like so fun. And let me tell you, there is a season for those things, but it doesn't last long. And if we're not careful, we're born again Christians with the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us. We can become so deluded with this world that people look at us out and about and they say, "Are they even a Christian?" And they're surprised to hear it. Let's talk about music. Boy, music about destroyed me as a teenager. It started there.
That's right, bro. Always does.
Listen to me, young people. I lied to that man sitting back.
Come on, preacher.
Amen.
Good. Amen.
It's good.
I lost his trust. And it started with music.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Hey, Daddy, there's no age limit on sin. You need to be listening to the right kind of music, too. Don't say amen here and listen to country music on the way home. Hope God deals with your heart.
Amen.
Why? You're just getting deluded with the world.
Right.
That's right.
Good preacher.
Bible says, Ephesians chapter number 5, verse 19, "Speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." The world's music doesn't do that. Godly music does. You say, "Brother Ross, what type of music should I listen to?" Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. If it gives you any taste of the world in it, then get rid of it. Say, "But it's got gospel at the front of it." Get rid of it and go get some songs and hymns and spiritual songs. The Holy Spirit of God's living inside of you. He'll help you what you need to listen to. Hey, we're having a tent meeting. We're having an old camp type meeting. Man, back in the day, whenever we go to camp, we come home and get rid of some things. Maybe tomorrow you need to come just throw some CDs away. Crush them up.
Come on.
Hey, let's move on to the next thing, our clothes. They speak something. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20. "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." I like that little clip from the other day of Papal preaching, and he said, "We're fair on both sides. None of our men are wearing dresses here." But hey, we go to work and we dress a certain way. We go places and we're showing our nakedness. God wanted the priests in the Bible covered. To the knee, the thigh. That was I tell our teenagers this all the time. I said, "This is good enough for guys. It's good enough for young ladies." I said, "Do you want to know the why? Because God doesn't want to see your nakedness."
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
So if you got a heart for God, then you'll dress the right type of way.
Right.
You won't show your nakedness.
Right.
Amen.
Why?
Right.
Because Brother Ross thinks it's nakedness? No, because God thinks it's nakedness. And I want to have a good relationship with Him.
Amen.
Not doing it to be saved, I'm doing it because I'm saved.
Amen.
Why?
Right.
I want to be salt for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I want. I want the world to, whenever they see, to see me out and about, not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday, not just at a tent revival like this. I want them, whenever they see me out and about, say, man, there's something different about him. There's something different about his wife. There's something different about his son. Man, they must be Christians. Sadly, about the only people we can see that with today is sometimes Pentecostals are out and about.
Right.
And it's so sad that our testimony ain't as good with that. You speak volumes with it. God spent, and in 1 Corinthians, God spent 13, 14 verses just talking about what we should look like from the neck up. You don't think he don't care what you look like everywhere else? Come on. We're losing our saltiness. We're losing our savor. Our entertainment, Psalms 101 verse 3 says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. We go to work, we go out with friends, and they are shocked to find us a Christian. It's like me taking this jug of water and saying, let me salt your food for you. And they look at me, no, don't do that. That's water. What are you crazy? That's not salt. And we got the same thing happening with the world out there. And we say, well, they're harder to Christian, and it's hard to see people say, no, maybe it's because Christians have lost their salt. You lost your savor. Because we're diluted down with the old wickedness of this world.
Come on.
That's right.
Let me throw a test out there for that. Inordinate affection. Leviticus 18:22 says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind is an abomination.
Amen.
Sodomy. We're so exposed to it. Doesn't affect us like it used to. It's not as gross as it used to be. Young people. Being taught it in the public schools that it's okay. You got AI telling you it's okay on your TikTok and on your Snapchat.
Come on.
It's happening today. That's not AI. There's somebody that's programming and putting code in behind that.
Right.
Yes, sir.
You're right.
We're losing our saltiness. We're losing our savor. And we need another generation, all the way from the oldest to the youngest, that'll decide, I'll put aside the wickedness. It's worth it to serve my Savior. I'll be salt.
Amen.
For him.
Yes.
Plus nothing, minus nothing. I'll go out there and be salt.
Yes.
And be a savor for him.
Yes.
Hey, daddy's anger.
Yeah.
James chapter number 1, verse 19. Turn there real quick. I'm just hitting on a few things tonight.
Yeah, come on,
James chapter number 1, verse number 19. The Bible says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God.
Right.
This is something God's still working on me about. Boy, I can have a temper real quick. I told our teenagers this. I said, you want to know one of the faults of Brother Ross? I can have a temper real quick. I can dress somebody down with my words real quick.
Right.
You get me mad and mad, and I can just, boom, it happens. It's like that with a lot of us.
Sir.
What's your home like?
Right.
Do they have an angry dad, an angry mom? Kids hearing it all the time, and you're wondering why they're getting in fights all the time, and they're yelling at people all the time. They're learning it from you.
Yep.
Where's our saltiness? We're out and about in our workspace, and you just hear an angry, 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 angry person all the time. No blessings of God, no joys of living a life serving for Christ, and then they don't want what you share with them. Well, that's a surprise. Never thought that would happen. Why would they want that? Why would they want anger all the time? Why would they want something like that? Why? Because we're supposed to be different as Christians. They're supposed to be something different about us. You have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you, and thank the Lord for it. You're supposed to be different. The salt. Have you lost your savor? Boy, this is a big one. Turn here to Proverbs chapter number 12. Proverbs chapter number 12.
Good, Brother John. Good. Yeah.
I believe this is an epidemic, and I don't use that word lightly after 2020. It's kind of a overused word, and it don't have the same fire it used to. But I believe this is something that we are dealing with amongst Christians on an epic proportion. You ready for it? Verse number 22. Yeah. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight.
Right.
I work with teenagers.
Yep.
I am blown away how many saved.
Yeah. Yeah, come on.
Christian young people can stare in the face of an adult and lie to them.
Yeah, come on.
Right.
There's no fear of God.
Right, right.
There's no shaking. There's no blush.
Right.
Lord, help us.
Yeah, right.
Yep. Yep. Come on.
Good.
They're learning it somewhere.
Right.
Yes, right. Yes,
and you can't blame it on the neighbor kid or on their buddy they have at church all the time.
Right.
Maybe we're letting them get away with it at home.
Right. There you go.
My boy, I haven't had to teach him nothing. He already lies.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yes, sir. Right.
And I've had to have long conversations followed with long punishment.
Yeah.
Yes. Rod of correction.
Yeah.
Of getting him to admit his sin whenever it's sin. Because I'm not going to let him. I look at him and say, son, you are not going to lie to me. And the whipping now is going to be worse because I'm going to give you a whipping for lying and for what you've done.
Right. 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 That's right.
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 Yeah.
Good. Amen.
We just lie like it's nothing all the time. Why? We're losing our savor.
Right. It's good. It's
good, preacher. It's good.
We're losing our savor. And we sit there and say they're harder to reach. Hey, if it was pitch black out here and there's no lights, when does the light shine brightest? If I had a candle up here right now, it wouldn't really do anything for us.
Right.
I mean, the fields are wide unto harvest.
Yes.
Right.
They're ready. Instead of making necessarily excuses for it or other stuff, how about us quick trying to go out there and say, hey, I'm going to salt you with that. And hey, let's get back to what we're supposed to be and say, I'm going to salt you how God wanted me to.
Amen.
I'm going to season you how God wanted me to.
Amen.
The salt has lost its saltiness. There's salt fields all across the world that use the sun to get the salt. When the heat is on, the sun shines bright. You may say, how do I get this saltiness back? You turn the heat up. As I was back at our church just the other day, I poured water into a pan. And I poured about the same amount of salt that I poured in this to taste it to see if there was saltiness in it. And I put it on our stovetop and turned the heat up high and let it boil away. You know what was left? Salt.
Right. Got it. Yep. There we go.
The water was gone.
Yep.
Evaporated.
Good.
Listen to me, church. If we want to get back to our saltiness, to our savor,
good,
we got to expose ourselves to the sun and turn the heat up in our own lives. Let me give you just a couple places and we'll be finished. Turn the heat up in turning from our own wickedness. In 2 Chronicles chapter number 7, verse 14, familiar verse. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
Yeah.
We have to be willing to admit it's me.
That's right.
Right. Right.
Don't look at anybody else in this congregation. Don't look over and say, hey, I hope so-and-so is listening over there.
Right.
You're the problem.
Right.
Listen to me. You're the problem. Hold the mirror up in front of you. Take your cell phone out and put it on selfie mode. You'll see that your biggest number one enemy day to day. You.
Right.
And you're the only one that can make a decision about doing something for you.
Yep. Come on.
Right. That's right. Good.
And it's still true that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We turn the heat up and turning from our own wickedness. Number two, you turn the heat up and getting back to the book, the Word of God. I want you to turn to Psalms 119. It's our preacher's life verse. Psalms 119, I want you to see it. Our pastor quotes this often to us as a church. Psalms 119, verse 128. Psalms 119, verse 128. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things
that's good
to be right.
That's good.
And I hate every false way.
Amen.
We got to get back to the book.
Amen.
Hey, mom, dad, you need to be in the book.
Yes, sir.
Hey, teenager, you need to be in the book.
Amen.
You can't ride mom and dad's coattails forever.
Right.
It's time for you to start reading the Bible, figuring out what you believe, and believing it because God said it, and saying, as our pastor said, he said, if anything that God has anything to say about, he's right, I'm wrong if I have another opinion.
Amen.
You get that figured out in life, you'll do all right.
Yeah.
Life's pretty sweet after that. Life's pretty wonderful to just decide day after day after day, his precepts are right, the word of God is right, I'm following it, and whatever it says, no matter how my flesh wants to fight against it, no matter what my flesh wants to say about it, God's right. And I'm going to follow that way. Our preacher says a lot of times too, with this too, he said, too many Christians want to treat the word of God like a buffet table. We can go up there and choose what we want and leave what we don't want. That's not how the word of God works. You take it all. Everything's right. You take it all in. You chew on the meat. You drink the milk, and you chew on everything in between.
Right.
You take it in, you study it, and you make it a part of your life. And choose, I'm going to turn the heat up in my life by getting back to the book. Number three in this, and lastly, turn the heat up in our walk with God. Lamentations chapter number 3, verse 22 and 23 says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Hey, I had a revival reading this and getting to study this out, but the reason why I did is because I was doing my walk with God.
Yeah.
I share things with our teenagers in Power all the time. I said, hey, just let me show you something I got from my Bible reading this last week. And I tell them, say, man, ain't this awesome? I said, now, you can experience that same thing if you'll read the Word of God and walk with them. You'll get to have those same type of nuggets and underline verses and say, wow, that's awesome. God's good. But you got to walk with them. And that walk isn't just in the morning. It's walking every single day at work, at home, at evening with your family. Out and about, on vacation, doesn't matter where it's at. It's realizing that I'm walking with a Savior, and the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good.
Amen, sir.
Hey, Christian, have you lost your saltiness? Hey, Christian, have you lost your savor? When you get back to the book.